Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LeGrecker. On today's episode, myself and Tommy Dreamer have two great guests. First, the man behind OVW, also celebrating 25 years of WrestleMania 15, Mr. Al Snow, and Mr. WrestleMania himself. That's right, the man behind NXT before getting to Stand and Deliver in Philadelphia, the one and only Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels joins us right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Am I using the right term, Tommy, when I say genius when it comes to pro wrestling before I bring in our next guest?
Hell yeah, I love Al.
Yes, and let's bring in the man himself, Mr. Al Snow. Sir, thank you so much for the time, as always, and thank you for appearing with us this morning.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Genius, even though that was Lanny Poffer's.
Yeah, I think he was more of a genius than me, that's for sure.
And had a poem for us all.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
But Al, I don't use that term lightly, because seriously, like when it comes to OVW, when I hear you, even as guest appearances, when you're on with Vince Russo or some of the other podcasts as well, I just love hearing what you think about the current state of pro wrestling and just about storytelling, old school storytelling when it comes to pro wrestling. And I could tell that you're as passionate about pro wrestling as you've ever been.
I very much am. I mean, I you know, I've said this numerous times. I'm very blessed to have gotten to do what I love to do so much for as long as I've gotten to do it. And nobody's yet to figure out that I have no clue what the hell I'm doing. So as long as I can keep doing that, I'll be great.
But I mean, it's also, I mean, honestly, you accomplished so much. And Dave, I mean, I remember this. Al was the hot indie guy who finally gets his break. So, and I mean, he was also a guy who wrestled in the territories. I thought he was amazing as an announcer, covered many of my big heat losses, but has worn many hats, but as well as also like cultivating new talent, you know, when this whole thing called Tough Enough, which was a television show, debuted.
Yeah.
And Al was on the forefront of helping a lot of people early in the career to also what he's doing now, running down an OVW. And I love the wrestlers thing. I'm almost finished it. I'm on episode 6.
Really? You like it?
I love it. I thought it was, I thought it's great. And, you know, we always talk about the stories behind the scenes are the most compelling.
Yeah.
Stories, and I thought that did a great job of bringing a lot of that stuff to the forefront.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to you know, to the director and producer and the BBC crew. You know, those guys were all so incredibly talented, and really they were very passionate. I mean, you know, they were there filming from the end of March until the end of August. So the last week of May until the very end of August. And they were filming 6-7 days a week, 12-16 hours a day. They got so much footage. I mean, and then for Greg Whiteley to be able to pare all of that down and so concisely and so completely tell so many different stories was is really a testament to how really talented and good he is. I mean, we were very fortunate to have the project, but I think we were even more blessed to have Greg Whiteley head it up.
Al, one of the things I loved about that show, and I think it really played out throughout each and every episode, was the relationship with you and Matt Jones. We've had Matt Jones on the show, and Matt, and I understand, like, you know, Al, I can kind of relate to Matt Jones in a lot of way when it comes to this show. You know, I started Busted Open just as a fan, and now I have Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and I have all, you know, Mickey James, and I have Thunder Rosa, all these people. Like, I'm even now, and we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary of this show.
Yeah, I am, congratulations.
Thank you, Al. But I'm still an outsider. Like, I still feel as close as they've let me in. I still feel like an outsider, which I like, Al, because I feel like I don't know this world. I've never stepped into the ring and I wrestled. I always say this all the time, Al. There's certain terminology I will not use when it comes to conversations with Tommy or Bully, because I find it disrespectful. There's certain terminology as a fan I should not use, because I am not a part of that very elite club that they that you guys are, because you guys earned it by putting your bodies on the line each and every night. That's something I have never done. I've just watched and respected you. So I feel like I saw that play out between you and Matt during the entire length of that season.
Yeah. Well, you know, the wrestling business is like every other business. I mean, you create a product, which happens to be the wrestlers, and the wrestlers themselves create their own product that you then try to market and advertise and promote to draw a customer base or a fan base. The only difference is that, you know, if you buy a Jimmy John's franchise, you know, it's pretty straightforward. You just make good sandwiches and then make sure the public knows where you're at and that they can get them. And you try to motivate them to come and buy the sandwiches. But, you know, in professional wrestling, there's this, the product, your sandwiches all have their own desires, their own goals, their own wants, their own needs, their own neuroticisms, you know, their own egos. And then there's this whole structure. I don't know so much anymore. I think it's still there, but not as much as like when I broke in the wrestling business. You got into the wrestling business, but you weren't one of the boys. You had to then earn your way to get a spot on the card. Then you had to earn, you literally had to earn and struggle and scratch to keep that spot on the card. Then you had to earn your way into the locker room, and then you had to become one of the boys. And I think Tommy can attest that once, you know, to what you had just alluded to, Dave, about, you know, being one of the boys, it's a different world. And you really have to earn it. And then you've got to make sure that you ensure in every possible way that you can keep it. And it's not simple for an outsider to understand that, you know, it's a very different and very unique business in that respect.
It's also hard because you do also have that fandom, and I'm not saying for you, but if we all come into this business as a fan.
Yes.
And then we, you start to learn the intricacies of it. And I mean, I was just having this entire conversation. There is such a massive difference also wrestling on the indies and then wrestling for television.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a difference of wrestling on taped programming for live programming or wrestling. Yeah. You know, you could go from wrestling to TNA to WWE. It's a whole other system.
It's another animal, and a different approach into marketing. But basically, it all still remains the same as far as, you know, your objective is to try to elicit as much heat out of an audience, a want, a need, a desire that drives them to want to, you know, see the next episode of television or come see it live, or, you know, just to motivate them, period, and to keep their attention. And, you know, that's really what it comes down to. There are different approaches to it. But to your point, like, you're absolutely correct. The indie mindset especially that's very prevalent today, is to live for the one night, to go out there and perform for that one night in that one town for that one audience, and try to have basically go into business for yourself and have that one match that stands out more than anybody else's, no matter where it's at on the card. And if it's, you know, in an actual ongoing promotion, well, now you're a part of a bigger puzzle, and it you have to play your role on the show and not necessarily try to outshine the main event, as the main event's the one thing that's going to have the audience walking out the door feeling a certain way and motivating them to come back in greater numbers. And if you steal that thunder prior to that happening, well, then now the show doesn't work the way it was supposed to. And the same goes if you're a personal, as a performer, again, on the indie mindset, your sole objective is to go out and be the singular star for that one night, no matter where you're at on the card. Where in a ongoing promotion, you've got to think, okay, I want to work on the top of the card. Right now I'm in the bottom or the middle. I've got to start looking like, even if I lose, I got to look like I could be and can be and will be at the top of the card someday. And you've got to consistently behave in that manner, even when it is, that's not where you're slotted to be. At some point, you'll teach the people in the back and you'll teach the audience that you could be potentially the next heavyweight champion. And then by the time that the office figures that out, the audience has already learned that, and you can now be a threat for that heavyweight title and potentially draw money in a heavyweight title match.
You know, Al, here in 2024, we're seeing some big business. We're seeing record crowds. We're approaching WrestleMania 40, where you're going to have, you know, a stadium full of people two nights. Right now in 2024, what do you like about pro wrestling, and what really bothers you about pro wrestling?
Well, I like everything about pro wrestling. I mean, I'm still as much a fan today of just the everything about it. I mean, I love it. You know, that's never changed for me. Probably what I don't like about it, I guess, is the loss, I guess, of the real art of what it is, you know, the art of selling, the misunderstandings, the lack of the intrinsic things that are of the true nature of what we do. The misunderstanding that selling is acting like you're hurt when it's not. It's when the objective of selling is selling who you are and selling your intent, your sense of urgency, that you're really attempting to try to win and not lose a match. That's what you're trying to convince an audience of. That's what you're trying to get them to buy into, not that it physically hurt you. And it's unfortunate when I watch so many talented performers simply start trying to sell what they do, not who they are and why they do it, because this crosses, and it's been proven to be universally known that, you know, this crosses all sports entertainment: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you know, boxing, MMA. It's not what these athletes do. It's the who the athlete is, that you can believe in who they are, and then what's at stake. What why does this one game matter? Why does this one match matter? You know, and why should you as an audience care? Because that, you know, that's what you relate to, you know. A good example is that football, baseball, and basketball have enormous audiences throughout the United States, and they do because everybody's played them as a kid. I mean, you've played football or baseball or basketball, even if it's just in the driveway or, you know, in the backyard. As a professional wrestler, how many times before, you know, a professional wrestler steps in the ring, have they taken a backdrop or thrown a drop kick or done something off the top rope? You know, so the audience can't relate to what we do physically, but they can certainly relate to who that athlete is and what motivates them and why they should care. You know, and that's the key. That's what can really allow a performer, especially these days, to stand out and truly be successful and be a star in professional wrestling, is if they go back to what they assume is now old school, and go back to the very beginning of things and sell who they are and why they're doing it.
Yeah, and Al, I'm watching it right now. One of the things that we talk about a lot on this show, and we get a lot of people that call in and we argue and we have fun with it because it's entertaining, is the Bloodline story as we're getting closer to WrestleMania 40 with Roman and Cody, you know, trying to fulfill, like, it's a story. And I feel like we know all the characters that are involved. We know all the personalities that are involved. You know, The Rock comes in. He's the big star. How is this going to affect everything? How has it affected everything? And I think that's why it's so intriguing is because it's based on the characters and the personality and the story that's in front of us.
And you can believe in who those people are. That's the key. If you can make someone believe in who you are, you can make them believe in anything you say, and you can make them believe in anything you do, because they believe in who you are. And that really is the key factor in being a star, not just in professional wrestling, just in general, is making an audience believe in who you are. That's the most valuable asset that a young performer can learn today, is how can I go out there? You know, Johnny Valentine had the greatest quote. He's like, I can't. And this was, think about this. When Johnny Valentine made this quote, it was in the 50s. In the 50s. So contrary to popular opinion, you know, in the 50s, there were the general audience knew that wrestling was predetermined, was work. So Johnny Valentine's goal was never to go out and make people believe that he was a wrestler. That he was actually wrestling, because he said, I can't make them believe wrestling's real, but I can make them believe I am. And that's has stuck with me to this day, that the objective is not to go out and make them believe that wrestling's real. The objective is to go out there and make believe that you are real.
And if you think about accomplishing that, because I still see Al when he's out on indies, what does people chant a lot? Head. They believe that this mannequin head makes Al Snow a different person, and that he could talk to it, and they're chanting for head. And when he grabs it, oh, he's going to use it. It's going to happen. And it's that gratification, really, of it's a mannequin head. But that mannequin head is all the difference, because it's still real. And that's
I'm so glad that everything they're not that Al right
did
now.
With it.
I'm so glad they're not listening right now. The head might get upset. So.
Yeah, please don't. Please tell Head I said hello. Al, please, we're also talking. It's WrestleMania. Number one, your favorite WrestleMania.
My favorite, probably, quite honestly, probably WrestleMania 3. You know, with Hogan and Andre, that was what a spectacle. You know, and what a just from top to bottom. I mean. That was a prime example of you know, Vince literally had every top worker on the show. I mean, that was, you know, truly a worker, guys that knew how, you know, had years of experience and knew how to draw money and knew how to perform on a platform like that. Just incredible. Really was.
And then really, I guess, next follow-up question would be your first WrestleMania.
My first WrestleMania, I can't remember the... I think that was a triple threat match for the hardcore title with Bob Holly, Billy Gunn, and myself. And we were on the opening of the opening match of WrestleMania. So, you know, incredible honor to be a part of it. And it's funny because I remember in Chicago, I went and did a personal appearance or I did an appearance for WWE, and we were talking. And when I first broke into the business, into wrestling, the real measuring stick was, you know, if you got to work the garden, you know, like there was a guy, his name was Roughhouse Johnny Ruffin, and he had come in to the territory, and you know, he was, nobody really thought much of him until all of a sudden, you know, we found out in conversation that he had worked the garden, and then everybody was like, oh, you worked the garden? What was it like? You know, and I think WrestleMania has become the same measuring stick, you know, like everybody can, you know, I work here, I work there. Oh, you were on WrestleMania? Really? What was it like? And it, you know, that's a testament to just how substantial and how prominent. And I mean, think about this, cities compete to host WrestleMania. And it's no longer just a two-night event. It's a week-long event that there are so many other ancillary events that are tied to it. And it has a dramatic impact on the socioeconomic status of the areas that they do this now. You know, that's incredible. I mean, it's
really
just
like
amazing.
The Super Bowl. It's like the Super Bowl now, where you have cities bidding to get it because they know the economy is going to be so good financially for the city. Now, you mentioned the match, the Triple Threat Hardcore match. That was WrestleMania 15. Today is actually the 25th anniversary of that WrestleMania.
Oh, is it really? And, oh, wow.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool. 25 years ago today in Philadelphia, and that's where this year's WrestleMania is going to be, is in Philadelphia. I mean, it's so funny talking, to pro wrestlers where, because, you know, even something as big as WrestleMania, you guys are, the life of a pro wrestler moves so fast, Al, that it seems like you really don't have a lot of time to kind of smell the roses and kind of say, wow, I've accomplished this and I can't believe I'm involved in that. Because right away, as soon as WrestleMania is over, you're getting ready for Monday Night Raw the next night. Yeah. So do you have time to kind of just kind of smell the roses?
You wish, I mean, but your life is always looking to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, you know, and, you know, on no matter what level you're on, it's always a never ending build, to build to a big moment. And I think that's part of what really makes professional wrestling unique is that whatever we do, if it's just even a match, from the moment you walk out that curtain, you're doing everything you can to create a singular moment that lasts anywhere from 3 seconds to maybe 30 seconds to a minute, but it only exists for that one particular moment. And then, you know, it's gone. And now you've got to work to the next moment and you've got to work to the next moment. And even if you're on TV and you're doing what we call angles or storylines, you know, that sometimes last a month, 6 months, a year. Everything you're doing is to create moments that lead to one singular particular moment that only lives with that particular audience for that particular time, and then it's gone, and you've got to go to the next, and you're always looking to the next, to the next, to the next. You know, the what we used to say was, you know, you work hard to pop the town so that you can work harder to pop the territory, you know, so that you can work harder to now pop the town even bigger, so that you can work harder to pop the territory any ever further. And it just keeps going and going and going. And you're never, never satisfied. And you're never, and you're always afraid. You're always, you know, terrified that if you don't go forward, you're going to slide back, you know. Even if you don't take one step forward, if you slide, you might slide back 10, and that always keeps that pressure on to where you just sometimes don't really get a chance to appreciate what it is you're really doing and what you're experiencing.
Dave, if you always hear the story of Jerry Rice with the owner, he's like, we win the Super Bowl, I go, we're looking for Jerry, and he's taking catches right after they won the Super Bowl, and everyone talks about this, how driven he was. I've never seen anybody do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's Jerry Rice. That's the mentality of majority of top wrestlers and everybody behind the scenes. There is, and like I do say, wrestling on television is the hardest job, not being a quarterback of football. It's being a wrestler on television is the hardest job because of all things you have to process. But that's the mentality of everybody, and it should be. And it's, there's a sadness to it, but there's also a greatness to it. So Al's 100% correct.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Tommy's right. You know, wrestling on television is incredibly, massively challenging for we could list tons of reasons. But the biggest is this, is that you're under the pressure. And I try to explain this to young talent, you know, because every young talent has a destination in mind, and that is they want to get signed by WWE. And I try to tell them the reality is that, number one, once you get signed, that's where the real hard work starts. that what you've done prior is nothing compared to what you're going to experience once you're there. And just so you're aware, as you go up the ladder exponentially, it's going to get even more challenging. And because you're only as good as the last time you performed. You know, imagine now if you're Jerry Rice, you know, you've won the Super Bowl. Hey, congratulations. But the second he walks back out on the field, he's under the pressure that now, oh, Jerry Rice won the Super Bowl. He better be able to perform at that level every game. Well, you've got the same thing. The problem is you've got to do this Monday night, next Monday night, and all of the nights in between.
Yep.
To be able to, you know, really have a chance to continue to build off of what you success you had. Otherwise, you'll lose every bit of it, you know. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of stress, no matter where you're at on the card or what you're doing.
Al, appreciate you giving the time. Before we let you go, how's Mickey James doing over in OVW? How's she doing?
She's great. She's terrific. I really enjoy having her and you know, her being a part of things. I think she's a great influence on, you know, both the men and the women here. And I think she motivates the talent to really pick up their game and then helps me a lot in, you know, I get caught up in so many different things, that it really helps to keep track of a lot of details and things that I miss. So it's been a big help.
You know, I love Mickey and she's still a part of our family. Any update on if we're going to get another season of The Wrestlers?
Not yet. We are still waiting. Netflix has the right of first refusal, obviously, and they've not given us a no, and they've not given us a yes. I think they're just, you know, it's a matter of in their own time, you know, they'll decide. I have no idea.
Well, it was awesome. It's still available on Netflix. And Al, always great having you on the show. Your insights
are
amazing. And yeah, 25 years ago today, WrestleMania in Philadelphia, WrestleMania 15. Al, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Can't wait to see you guys in Philadelphia. It should be awesome.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Al.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Mr. Shawn Michaels, sir, how are you? And thank you so much for the time.
I'm doing great. Yeah, well, as always, as I just said, yeah, thank y'all for having me. Appreciate the help that you guys are always giving us and the support. My pleasure to be here.
We also love the show. I cover it every Wednesday, and you're doing a phenomenal job. So is all the talent. I love it. I love the fact that we all say this, you're Mr. WrestleMania when greatest wrestlers of all time, and you're cultivating the next generation, and we see your imprint in the industry, and just thank you for it, because it's a big part of what's making this entire week coming up for WrestleMania something special.
Yeah, well, look, as I've told you guys before, I'm having a great time doing this. It is, as you know, Tommy, this stuff, it's in you, and so this is what certainly for the, you know, our young men and women, we don't get out of Florida that much. And, you know, these PLEs, and certainly during WrestleMania weekend, is huge for them. We were all just actually had a big meeting yesterday with all the talent going. So much to do. As you guys, we were just talking about off air, you know, just a busy week for everybody. It makes, for our young superstars, it makes you feel like they're finally, they're in the business. They're doing it, and they're busy, and they're running around. And then culminating it, obviously, with Stand and Deliver on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be an exciting weekend for us. And obviously, everybody in NXT is as the kids say today, stoked about going.
Well, there's a lot to be excited about and a lot to talk about when it comes to Stand and Deliver coming up on Saturday. Bell time, 11:30. So it's going to be an early show before we get to night number one. It's going to be streaming exclusively on Peacock as well. And the two people, and it's confirmed, it's Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes in the main event. And Trick and Carmelo have been on Busted Open many, many times. And Sean, what I love about both those guys is they are like sponges. As much success that they have had in NXT, you could tell that even when they come on this show, Sean, it's amazing. They'll ask Tommy questions. They'll ask Bully questions. They'll ask Mark questions. You could tell they want to learn. They must make for the best students because as big as they've become, and here they are, you know, main eventing a show like Stand and Deliver, it seems like they still want to learn.
They absolutely do. And it is. They have been a joy, as Carmelo's said many times. He and I hit it off right off the bat. And I'm telling you, after the last, half a year, that Trick has been on the rise since he walked into my office and said, you know, I want to give it a shot. I want my shot. And he's just one of the hardest workers. I dearly love both those two young men with all my heart. They have been fantastic. They're a joy to the coaches, and not just me, to everybody in NXT at the Performance Center, and obviously have earned this spot at WrestleMania, at Stand and Deliver, you know, as the main event. This is the deepest, most passionate, most intriguing storyline in NXT, and I would argue in NXT history. And this is so deserving of the main event. And these two guys, earned it every step of the way. And I'm happy that they're getting this opportunity.
When I first saw them together, I said, this is a newer version of HBK and Diesel. Here's the guy who is a great in-ring performer and a bigger guy. Because, I mean, if you remember back in the day, people used to say you were too small. You were a tag team wrestler and not given that opportunity. And I love the growth of both of these performers. When did you have that envision of putting them together that way, or was that somebody else?
No, look, we definitely had the vision of putting them together. It was one of those. They were just you could see it just in their interaction. And look, at the beginning, it was sort of putting a more experienced guy with a guy that we knew had promise. You can just see it in Trick Williams, obviously. But then those two, much like Kevin and I, they just became friends, and the chemistry was so natural from the get-go. And to your point, Tommy, it really has. Without us trying, it has so mirrored what Kevin and I did go through. But I'll say this, and it'll probably bother Kevin, but they are way cooler than Kevin and I. Although, again, mostly on my part, Kevin always could pull off the coolness. Mine was clearly an act start to finish, but these two, they ooze charisma. And again, they're dynamic together. They played off each other well. And to be perfectly honest, there was a time I just never wanted to see them apart, and maybe hoping that, you know, if this day were to happen that we're going through now would happen, it would, you know, happen much later down the road. But Trick was a guy that was chomping at the bit to get out there and to prove himself, and we gave him that opportunity, and now he's enjoyed it. And of course, Carmelo in all of this, it's tough. I've been that guy as well. When you're the guy that's, again, clearly who you feel is the guy that's put everybody on the map, but then all of a sudden this other guy starts getting a bit more of your shine, you know, than you're used to. And it's it's something that you are happy for them, but at the same time, you're saying, what about me? And so this is a fantastic dynamic because so much of it mirrors real life. You know, as you know, Tommy, we, you know, we have friends in this line of work, but we're all scrambling. There's only one number one spot, right? And when it comes to friends, it tests that friendship. And that's something that's going on with Trick and Carmelo right now. And like I said, it's all going to come culminate at Stand and Deliver on Saturday, April 6th. And it's going to be exciting because these boys have got the highlight that they wanted, being in the main event. And we're all going to sit there and watch it and enjoy it.
You know, Sean, and I've said this to you before, and I'm not just saying it because you're a guest here. Tommy will tell you, I say it each and every Wednesday morning here on Busted Open. I feel that NXT is the best pro wrestling show of the week when it comes to storylines, character development, personality. You know, each and every wrestler is presented a certain way on the show, which helps them. I mean, a perfect example, you have so many stars coming off a Tuesday night that's not even going to be able to be on this show at Stand and Deliver. But when you look at that and you look at the character development, Roxanne Perez is another one, the change in personality that she has. How much of an emphasis have you put on, you know, storylines, characters, and personalities with NXT?
Well, just as you say, a ton. Because, look, I'll say this. One of the things, again, certainly we have some experienced people, but not to the level of experience, again, of Raw, SmackDown, or any other wrestling show out there. We're not going to, we've only got a few people that are going to be able to go out there and, you know, on their first 2 weeks in the business, give you 20 minute bangers, you know? So obviously, you know, character development, helping them establish those characters and storylines are going to be a key part of NXT because it's so foundational. You know what I mean? As we go forward, that's some of the things you have to put in place in any show or television show or movie. You've got to establish who these people are. And so obviously that's something that we have the ability to do, especially that's one of the advantages to being in Orlando, to being in the same place. That allows us the opportunity to do things that not other people can do when they're traveling every week. So, you know, it's a huge emphasis, obviously. You know, you have to give a ton of credit to the young talent, because it's very collaborative. What we do, you know, take a lot of what they say into consideration. We work with them because, as you know, Tommy, and look, you know as well, is that if it's something that comes from within, that it's not too far from who you really are, it's going to work a hell of a lot better. And so getting to know these young men and women and who they are is a huge part of that. And that's something that we're able to establish because we all spend so much time together.
Yeah, and I think the perfect example of it and working in a big way is Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo has only been, you know, basically for a cup of coffee, but the way that he's been able to develop that character to the point where now he's in a NXT championship match at a major show at Stand and Deliver. That's kudos to everybody involved in NXT because he's presented as such a big star that the fans are now buying into the fact that he's in a major match at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. Well, and again, and Tony is, you know, he's somebody that from the beginning, he jumped in just all, you know, 110% into that character, has done a fantastic job. I got to be honest with you. The things that worry me about Tony D'Angelo is somebody from Hollywood giving him a call and losing him to, you know, play the next mob boss for somebody because he does such a fantastic job. And the family has grown, obviously. And so, again, I appreciate the fact that you all recognize you know, the character development, the emphasis on storyline. Because as you know, Tommy, that's one of the most enjoyable things about the job is the creative behind the scenes. And so it not just makes it fun for, you know, the superstars, but for those of us that are behind the scenes, it's a blast to be a part of.
Yeah, you see your children grow to be the next generation WWE superstars. I also, you know, comment about how many women are on the show and also positive female representation on the show. I mean, I always say, man, it's very women-centric at times because you have so many talented women. I feel like the women are surpassing most of the guys because of how quickly they're evolving and almost getting it. For you, how is that mix and hard to like juggle? Because, I mean, you're old school in the sense of there's only so many spots on the card. So how hard is that for you to juggle that?
Well, I got to be honest, it's actually pretty darn easy because, as you said, the women are so advanced and are getting it so quickly. And I'll say this because it was something that we had as we moved to CW this October, that we were speaking about in a meeting with all of them, because they were very, appreciative of that and the diversity that NXT has. And I told them very honestly, I said, I have to be honest, what makes our job so enjoyable is that we don't have to try to make that happen. It happens just naturally because we're going with the most talented people or the most advanced characters or the best storylines. And those things almost take care of themselves. It is, there are times that we're looking, at our 11 segments on a Wednesday after television and for the next week and looking at it and going, that's almost all ladies in every segment. And again, it's almost, we have more trouble having to move a couple of things to get our men in there. And I mean that, in no way, offensive to our guys. They're doing a fantastic job, but we're very fortunate behind the scenes that we have so many to choose from. Our women's division is so deep and those young ladies are so talented and those young college athletes are just getting it so quickly. And that's the thing that I guess I think is so, I think, positive, certainly about the WWE and this business going forward, is that there is a lot of real phenomenal potential talent coming through NXT. And there's going to be good representation into the future, certainly from a diversity standpoint, but easily from the women and the men, because they keep coming. We've got another tryout at WrestleMania. And so I got to tell you that the competition makes it pretty amazing down there in Orlando, for us to put together a fantastic show that I think represents everybody equally and fairly as we go down the line.
Wells Fargo Center, 11:30 bell time, start time, exclusively streaming on Peacock. But also, if you're in the area in Philadelphia, make sure you catch this show. It's going to be amazing. Stand and Deliver, coming up Saturday, April 6th. You're Mr. WrestleMania, so I may only have this one opportunity to ask you. Okay, you wouldn't know it by listening to this show or watching our videos on YouTube, but I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan. And Cody Rhodes, night number two, going after that undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. I mean, I think, have you seen in recent times in the WWE this amount of groundswell for what we've seen for Cody here lately? Here comes The Rock, the biggest box office superstar. He comes back. He thinks he's just going to walk in, take the main event night number two. The fans say, and I put on this pink robe and my hair was disheveled the next day on the air and I went absolutely crazy. But, Cody, we know Cody's going to overcome the obstacles. He's going to win the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. What's that moment like? You fell to your knees holding on to that championship title. What is that moment like when you win that championship?
Well, it's when it's all real. Again, it's the industry recognizing you as the guy that's, that's going to be carrying certainly the biggest, most global brand, global brand in the world. And I'll say this, certainly guys from my era are going to give you The Rock and Austin. But I do have to say what Cody has done over the last year, 2 years, been pretty amazing because it's done in what I think a lot of us traditional, baby faces would say that it's really hard and difficult to pull off in this era. And he's done a fantastic job of that. So look, this WrestleMania 40 is going to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I have no doubt. It's going to be a huge moment if Cody can make that happen. But look, we've seen before that the story doesn't get told, as they say. So, If it happens, it'll be an absolutely glorious moment for him and a huge recognition of what he's accomplished. But if Roman says it isn't happening and he goes out there and makes that so, it's a big hill to climb. Let's just put it that way.
Now, just so I can hear this correctly, the great Mr. WrestleMania, the greatest wrestler of all time, one of the greatest storytellers of all time, one of the best baby faces of all time, the story doesn't just have to end if Cody loses, correct?
Well, clearly it doesn't if he loses.
And look, wait a minute, call the hotline. Yeah. The greatest is basically agreeing with people except for Dave. Sean, Dave is the original Cody crybaby. He started all this. He went viral because The Rock kind of called him out. I love his fandom. I love it, but he's sometimes blinded by his fandom.
So. And that's well, you know, we all have our favorites. Okay, we all have our favorites. Yeah. All right, you know, Wahoo McDaniels could do no wrong in my eyes.
That's right. I still have here, you know, the last battle of Atlanta, Tommy Rich, all bloodied from Buzz Sawyer. This is my inspiration each and every morning when I go on the air. And you know what, Sean, and I like what you just said, because I think now in 2024, people are almost too smart for their own good. Like, there's nothing wrong with just sitting back, enjoying it for what it is, and being a fan. And I get a lot of crap, believe it or not, because of my fandom. Listen, I am a talk show host that's blessed enough that I get to come on the air and talk pro wrestling every day. That's not lost on me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with just being a fan and enjoying it through a fan's eyes. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah, well, look, I do it every Tuesday night as well. Awesome. Again, I agree with you. Look, and I understand there's, you know, there's a lot of taking sides from the fan standpoint. But I'll say this again, me and my buddies have always felt like, again, we feel like this job's always supposed to be fun, and we make it fun. And that's what we do every Tuesday night in NXT. Certainly from that standpoint, I understand big business and making your money and all of that. But in NXT, we want them to enjoy that experience. We want you to enjoy our show every Tuesday night. And obviously, we want you to enjoy Stand and Deliver on April 6th. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be a great WrestleMania. And one last question before we let you go. And again, April 6th, 11:30 bell time on Saturday at the Wells Fargo Center. Really quick, Sean, before I let you go, just the feel for you. I mean, you're Mr. WrestleMania. You've had your greatest moments, your greatest matches, you know, when it comes to WrestleMania. What's the feel when you get this close? Do you still get that kind of goosebump feeling as you get closer to WrestleMania?
It is. It's the most exciting, as we were talking about off camera, it's just the most exciting week ever. And there's so much going on. Look, we have guys again, Tommaso and Johnny, you know, there are a lot of my guys, you know, Waller, number of guys from NXT that are going to have the opportunity to take part in their first WrestleMania. I want to be there to see that. This is what so many of them worked for. So look, again, this is not just a big weekend for WWE as a, you know, as a company, but it's big for a number of WWE superstars and NXT superstars, because this is their first WrestleMania. And again, for somebody like Cody, again, you know, so many people, like, and you know, Punk, who has come back, something that this is a really big weekend, because we're going to have a lot of unique and different things going on, a lot of firsts for people, everything that WrestleMania was built on and is supposed to be is just a week away, and it is going to be absolutely huge. And yeah, no, I'm very excited about it. And you know, can't wait till it happens, because the entire weekend is a blast. You're running 100 miles an hour, but you wouldn't have it any other way.
With all that excitement and old school HBK G-ing up the crowd like he did, selling great, flipping back that hair, is there one sweet chin music left in the chamber?
Well, look, first of all, it'd have to be without flipping of any hair. That's for sure, because there isn't much underneath this hat anymore. Oh, look, I can still always throw a super kick, easy. Nice. But it's, you know, I got a lot of single shots left in me, Tommy, but But nothing, you know, nothing too impressive, that's for sure.
All right, Wells Fargo Center, 11:30.
I love you, buddy. So great
Saturday,
to see you.
Saturday, April 6th, stand and deliver. And, you know, it's Sean, you got me all hyped up. I'm watching Wahoo McDaniel, Magnum TA from 1985 for the U.S. Championship after this is over. So thank you, Sean. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time as always.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
See you,
bud. All right, Shawn Michaels, Tommy, Mr. WrestleMania. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.